It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Clay Masters. Co-Opportunity Health, the Iowa health insurer set up with federal loans under the Affordable Care Act, may soon be liquidated. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid have extended $146 million to it since it was set up, but did not extend the money they were expecting at the end of last year. Now the state has taken it over. Iowa's senior U.S. Senator, Republican Chuck Grassley, wants to know more, and he's with me from Washington. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you. And my involvement is this is as a member of the Senate Finance Committee and jurisdiction over this program, which is part of the Health Care Reform Act. I want to know how our taxpayers' money is being handled. And in this particular case, I think we loan money that's never going to get back, not the fault of Co-Opportunity, but the fault of CMS probably not following through till this organization was mature.
Now, in a written statement from a CMS spokesman to Iowa Public Radio, the explanation they provide is that the total funding requests from these co-ops in the fall exceeded the amounts of funds available to make loan awards. So limited funding, they said they prioritized, and Iowa wasn't one of them. That explanation isn't sufficient?
It's funny. Well, first of all, you've gotten some language from CMS that I have not. I have not had an answer to my letter yet, so I'm a little surprised that they would give you some information that they don't give me. But let me suggest this in answer to your question, that it's not satisfactory because this is a beginning organization, and I've seen CMS and HHS divert a lot of money from one part of health care reform to another. And I wouldn't take that explanation as a satisfactory explanation for me.
Now, these co-ops were set up to create competition in places where there wasn't much. Early on, many thought Wellmark would sign up to be a part of the exchange. Do you think things would be playing out differently had the pool been spread out more through Wellmark?
The answer is yes.
Are you hoping to take this further, hold congressional hearings about it once you get an answer from them?
Well, it depends on what that answer is, and it also depends upon what Chairman Hatch, who took over chairmanship for me because I'm chairman of the Judiciary Committee, what he would decide to do. But my policy when I was chairman of finance or any chairmanship is that hearings are always a last resort, but they're also a shotgun behind the door so that if you don't get the cooperation you want from your letters and from every phone calls and every other way you try to get information from the administration, yes, I would suggest hearings to Senator Hatch. But right now, I'm going to reserve judgment on that until we get answers to our letters. Now, you didn't ask me, but let me say the purpose of our interest in this doesn't deal just with Co-Opportunity, because I think it's fair to assume that there's no Co-Opportunity anymore. But there's 30 to 35 other co-ops around the country. And these co-ops, including Co-Opportunity, got loans from the federal government to get started. And those loans were going to be repaid. And so our interest is, how is CMS handling this with Co-Opportunity, so that we know that we don't run in the same situation with the other 30 to 35 cooperatives around the country, because if we were run into the same situation with them that we do with Co-Opportunity, then there's no chance of ever getting the loans paid back. In other words, the loans are based upon the cash flow of the cooperatives, and that's how we get the taxpayers' money back. So I'm interested in preserving the records with Co-Opportunity. I'm asking the state of Iowa, asking CMS to preserve the records so we can find out what went wrong with Co-Opportunity, because they thought they were going to get some further help from the department. They didn't get it. They go under. We lose the taxpayers' money. We're interested in finding out what went wrong to make sure the same thing doesn't go wrong with the other co-ops, and so we get our money back.
Taking a step back and looking at more big picture items within the Affordable Care Act, what do you think will happen in the Supreme Court case that could potentially invalidate tax credits in three dozen states where the feds run the program?
I'm going to talk in what common sense would tell me. I'm not sure that the Supreme Court uses just common sense, but it's very clear the way the language was written that that exchanges that were federal in a state, and that's about, I don't know, 35 states or so, I think, that the subsidy does not go to federal exchanges, just to states that set up their exchange. And that was very intentional by the Democrats that wrote Obamacare. They thought that it would force states to set up state exchanges. So it seems to me the clear reading of the law is that the subsidy does not go. Not only does it affect the subsidy, but it affects the individual mandate. So you ask me what happens if the Supreme Court rules as I suggested they should rule. It opens up for negotiations between the president and the Congress. How are you going to take care of the subsidy for the states that have exchanges, and what else, other changes that should be made to Obamacare? Because even the president has made very clear that Obamacare isn't the perfect piece of legislation that he thought it was, because he's made 38 changes in it by executive order. Some of them probably illegal or unconstitutional, but probably some of them he had the authority to do.
So with the new Republican majority Congress, what do you see as some of the key things to do in chipping away at the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it's a case of going back to what was our intent when it was written and passed, even for those of us that voted against it. Some of these changes that the president made, like delaying the corporate mandate for 2 years, as an example. The law clearly said that it was supposed to go into effect January 1st, 2014. He delayed it. And those are changes that need be made. We should review the individual mandate as well, because this is the first time in the history of the country that the federal government said, I'm saying federal government, not state government, because it's different in the case of state government. This is the first time that the federal government has said you got to buy something. They may always said there's things you can't do, but this is the first time that they said you got to do something that maybe you don't want to do.
Do you think it should be repealed?
We're going to vote for repeal, but the president's going to veto it, and so we're not going to pass it over his veto. So there's not going to be any repeal of it, but we're going to vote to repeal because that's what we promised the people in the election. And if you win an election, you ought to carry out your promises. So then you get back to the more realistic things that can be done if the president agrees that some changes need to be made. And we feel when the subsidy for federal exchanges goes away under court decision, then that's an opportunity to make these changes, and hopefully our intention is to do it in a bipartisan way.
Senator Chuck Grassley, thanks as always for talking with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much. Glad to be with you.